Thank you, Quentin. Good morning, everyone. Trust you all well. It seems to be getting warmer out there, and so we've got a promise of spring coming soon. This morning, I just want to encourage us, as we've been sensing God been speaking to us, I just want to highlight something that the Lord just revealed to me, this aspect of the new wineskin and the new wine. And I just want to put it in context where we're going forward. Last week, we spoke about vision is to know our Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known. But what is the new wineskin? And, you know, Jesus foretold the whole thing and then brought the revelation through Paul. The new wineskin is in Christ. God has put us in Christ. There's no other way of going forward. There's no other vessel that God has but Christ. But what is the wine? And I really believe the wine is Christ's life. You know, we've been given that when we believe, we receive eternal life. And that's the life of Christ. And as Christ comes to live inside of us, the life of God flows through us. And that's what the evidence that we need to have in all our lives. So I really want to encourage us, as we find ourselves in Christ, we need to be trusting for this river of living water, which is Christ himself, to flow through us. And we need to pursue that. We need to pursue the life of God flowing through us. So that's just in the foretaste. I just really wanted to clarify what I just sensed the Lord just saying to us as we're going forward. But as I come to the message today, I ask you a question. Do you believe in the judgment of God? And I want to say is that in the church today, and I think sometimes we defaulted just to the love of God, and that's a very important message. God is love, and he does love us, and we need to know that. Every one of you need to know that God loves you. But you also need to know that God is judge. And the scripture declares that he will judge the living and the dead. In John 16:8, the Holy Spirit has been sent to us as a gift of God. But it says here, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so often we focus just on the sin, but God's righteousness and his judgment. And God's coming to is doing that. You know, when we've come to Christ, those are the things that he reveals. The Holy Spirit does that. He reveals our sin, our unrighteousness. Then he reveals the righteousness of Christ. And then he needs to reveal the judgment that takes place on this world. I don't know if you know, is that God judged the world in Christ. And through Christ paying the price, that the wrath of God was placed upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And he took our punishment for sin and unrighteousness. And today that we can live in the righteousness of God. But that judgment, God is still judge, and we sometimes have forgotten that. You know, I was thinking about when we reveal Jesus to men and women out there, and so often we want to tell them the good news that God loves them, and we need to tell them that. But also we need to tell them not only the good news, but we need to tell them the bad news. If they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the wrath of God, the judgment of God that is out there. And I think so often the world has got to a place of complacency that they don't understand who God is, a consuming fire, the reverence and the awe that he has. And one day he will judge mankind, the living and the dead. And I think sometimes we need to be preaching that gospel too. I think Jonathan Edwards preached that message and many came to know the Lord. And I think there's this aspect of the world doesn't recognize their sin and doesn't recognize their unrighteousness. And I want to ask you that maybe sometimes when you're sharing the news of Jesus, sometimes you need to reveal to them who he really is, that one day that he will be the judge of mankind. So I want to encourage us today with the theme, Jesus the Judge. And the scripture I use as the text today is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And I read it to you. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Here we see Jesus will judge the living and dead on his appearing and of his kingdom. And I really just, we need to be cognitive of who he is, not just only Savior, but he's also the judge. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, it talks about Jesus sitting on the throne. But he says, he who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, often when you see sheep out there and the lambs, they are seem to be so weak. And but I want to just say, Jesus is the Lamb of God. And so often when we come to him, we think, well, he's just gentle, he's kind, and he doesn't have wrath. But it says here in Revelations that the wrath of the Lamb, he one day, because of his righteousness, will exert his wrath upon mankind. So I want to just go through 3 points today. The 3 points I want to look at in the aspect of Jesus the judge. The firstly, the root cause for God and his wrath on mankind. The second one, Jesus is Savior and judge. And thirdly, retribution, the judgment seat of Christ. So firstly, the root cause for God's wrath on mankind. And we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And this tells us why God's wrath is upon mankind. But mark this, there'll be terrible times in the last days. And I don't know if you believe we are in the last days. We're experiencing what the scriptures are talking about. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And what does the scripture say? Have nothing to do with them. And this is the world that we actually live in, even though we've been called out of this world. When we look on upon this world and we read our news bulletins and read our newspapers, we see this is what the world is. And the world has degenerated. And I really believe God's wrath is coming because of this degeneration. And, you know, we talk about our parents and the world they grew up in, and there was a value system and family was important. And there seems to be wholesomeness and respect. But today that seems to have all fallen away. We see the degeneration of society and culture. And I believe because of that degeneration of human culture, the character and behavior of men, there's an outworking of the wrath of God against mankind. You see, in the world that we live, it's corrupted. And even in our nation, we hear of corruption that is taking place, and that really upsets me. But actually, when men are caught up in sin, what actually happens? They can't do anything better than that. That corruption is in them because of their sinful nature. And I want to just say is corruption cannot be irreversed unless the Lord Jesus himself comes and takes that corruption away. You know, the racism that we're seeing through the world, the only person that takes that out of our hearts is the Lord Jesus Christ. And corruption, too, it's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can do that, because it's a heart matter. It's not a matter of just fixing up rules and regulations to make it better, because people break those and continue to break those. But when the heart is changed, that's when the life of God comes and brings new life to people's lives, and corruption is broken. So the remedy to the world, to the earth, is Jesus Christ. There's no other answer. We cannot be preaching any other gospel than Jesus Christ, because he's the one that changes hearts and brings new birth and brings new creation. As the scripture says, the old nature's gone and the new has come, and his righteousness comes into our hearts. And that's the only answer. And we were in that darkness, but that is the only answer to go forward. So the only solution to the wrath of God is Jesus Christ. So my second point is Jesus is Savior and Judge. And for all of us, we know Jesus as Savior because we've believed upon him, and maybe some of you haven't, but he's the Savior. He saves us from sin and unrighteousness, but he's also the judge. In John chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, moreover, the Father judges no one, but he's entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. But who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So here we see Jesus being entrusted with judgment. The Father's given judgment to him. And we look in the Old Testament and we see under the Mosaic law, we see God's dealing with mankind. And I also want to just enumerate here some of the times where God actually judged. And we look at the whole aspect of Adam and Eve. When they sinned, God expelled them from the garden and subjected them to the curse of a future life here on earth. Then in the days of Noah, we see the world was corrupt, and God sent a flood and he judged mankind, and no one was left except for Noah. And then with Egypt and the 10 plagues, even in Israel, when Moses went up the mountain to go and get the 10 commandments, they worship a golden calf, God judged them. And we see right through the Old Testament, we see with Nadab and Abihu, the strange fire they brought before the Lord, Achan who stole things from God, the unfaithfulness of Israel, even Saul and David. Even David, when he sinned against the Lord and he made poor decisions, there were consequences. God actually judged. And even Israel, because they wouldn't turn to God and they wouldn't do things his way, they were sent into exile as a judgment of God. But yet God was gracious to them and brought them back. And then under the new covenant, God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He hasn't changed. God judged under the new covenant, and we've seen before how Ananias and Sapphira, when they were lying to the Holy Spirit, and when Herod was thought that he was a god and his pride, and he was eaten up by worms. We see even in the Christians in Corinth, when they were irreverent for the Lord's Supper, how some of them died. Now, the question I ask is, the world that we are facing at the moment with COVID-19, is God judging the world because of this degeneration? To be honest, I don't know, because Christians are also being impacted through this whole thing. But I do believe is that God is in control, and that he's in charge of the end, and he will fulfill his promises. You see, what I really want to encourage us at this time, even though you might seemingly have lost hope and become a little bit fearful in this time, the promises that God has given to every one of you, it's his word, and the specific prophetic promises that he's given to you will be fulfilled. You know, God is not unthoughtful when he gave those words to you, and those promises are yea and amen, and they will be fulfilled. And I wanted to say, even in the life of Church on the Way and in your personal life, those promises that God has given you will be fulfilled, and we need to hang on to that and go forward. You see, under the New Testament teaches us there's a universal day of judgment that will take place. The Bible tells us there in the New Testament that it's called a day of wrath, the wrath to come, where Jesus will be the divine appointed judge at that time. And there's some scriptures that I just want to just enumerate here to actually guide us and tell us that Jesus is the judge on that day. In 1 Peter 4, verse 5, but they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, it says here, now there in store for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, who will reward me on that day. So even for us who are righteous, there's a reward for us. And then Acts 10, verse 42, it says, he commanded us to preach to people and testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And then from Acts chapter 17, verse 30, in the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this by all men by raising him from the dead. And that is the judge, is our Lord Jesus Christ. So the message that comes when we understand that God is judge, there's a message of repentance. So what does that mean? It means that we've got to understand that some of our ways and some of the things that we are doing are not pleasing to God. And he keeps an account of every word that we say, as much as he accounts for every hair on our head, because he loves us. He gives an account of all that we do. And we know the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But it says in Romans chapter 2, verse 6, this will take place on that day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. So, you know, for me, not that I'm scared, but I want to be with reverence and awe, because for us who are believers, we will also be judged and stand before the Lord. And what does that mean? And I believe we're not going to be judged because of sin, because that judgment has taken place. We'll be judged for reward. But there are different levels of rewards, and I'll get to that a bit later, is that we will all be judged for reward. And I want for every one of you that you will get everything that God has purposed for you as you follow his plans for you. So my third point is the retribution, the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 2, verses 6 to 8. God will give to each person according to what he has done, to those by whose persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. He will give eternal life. For those who are self-seeking and reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. And 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things he's done well in the body, whether good or bad. So when Jesus comes, he's going to look, and it says in Matthew chapter 25, he's going to look and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to see those that are serving him and those that are not serving him, and he will judge what is our intents of our hearts and our lives and what we've done and the purposes of our lives. And as I say again, for those who do not follow the Lord, what would it be and hold on to him, there's a judgment. And, you know, that sounds very harsh, but I want to tell you, because God of his love has provided a way, and we need to repent and hold on to that. You know, it says anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And God doesn't want anyone to go to eternal damnation. But those who in pride in their hearts and a rebellious nature in their hearts refuse this goodness of God and his provision for them, refusal of his good nature and what he's provided, this free gift of salvation. And but for us that have accepted that, God has promised us eternal life. And I want to say we've got to keep that in our hearts too, is that we got eternal life forever, and we need to seek for what he has for us. So in conclusion, in Amos, it says here that in chapter 4, verse 12, therefore, this is what I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Now, Amos was talking about a time now is that we need to prepare to meet the risen Christ, the risen Jesus. And, you know, we're all waiting for what I really believe, and God has been preparing us as we are the bride of Christ, that the bridegroom is coming back. And we know that, as the scripture declares, is the rapture, that he's coming to fetch us and take us back to him, that we can come to the wedding feast of the Lamb. But we need to be prepared for that day. And it is a time, as this time, as much as he's going to be the judge, we need to prepare to meet him as the one as Savior and as judge. So the challenge is for all of us, are you a sheep or you're a goat? Are you following your own ways? Are you trusting in this world, or you're trusting in Jesus? And I want to encourage us, please don't trust in this world and the things of this world, because they will grow strangely dim and they have no future. We need to be trusting in him. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 15, and I want you to hear what this says. Paul's talking to the Corinthian church of how we build our homes. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what has been built survives, he will receive a reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. What does that mean? How do we build in Christ, and how do we live in Christ? If we do not build correctly and we do not follow after him in his purposes as we are led by the Spirit of God, we might lose, we might suffer loss, as the scripture says here, because there's a fire that's coming to test our work in Christ. But I want to trust for every one of us, as again, that new wine skin and the new wine, we are found in Christ, and the wine is Christ, that we are in him, that we will all receive a reward that the Lord has for us. My desire is not that anyone would suffer loss at the great judgment day. Then what are we to do? If you find yourself and that you're not in the right place from the Lord, don't run from him, run to him. Because when you run to him, he's still the Savior. He's the one that doesn't bring condemnation. He loves you for who you are. And he's the one that wants to restore you back to full fellowship and full understanding of who he is. So I ask you out there today, I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I trust that you're seeking him with all your heart, that you're loving him. But maybe you've wandered and you've come out of his protection. You've come out and haven't been following him as you should. And I want to encourage you today is that this is a time to come back. This is not a time to wander and to be caught up in this world and get disheartened. It's a time to be restored back to him. And it's us that have been seeking the Lord, but also those that have never met him. Maybe you're out there today and you've never met the living Lord Jesus Christ. And I come to bring this good news today. He still loves you. And even though he is the judge, he comes with his salvation and he wants to restore you to know him as Lord and Savior. And if that's you today, we are going to pray a bit later for more specifics. But if that's you today in your heart, you want to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I'd like you to pray with me and allow the Lord to do this work in your heart. Let's pray. Father, we realize is that so often when we've heard the good news, sometimes we might have heard just one aspect of this, that your love and your grace, but we've forgotten that you're also the judge. And Lord, we just come and submit to that, who you are, and not out of a place of fear, but of reverence and awe. We come and submit to you, and we want to change our ways, and that's what the scripture says, to repent and turn to you. So firstly, Father, for us that have never met you, I ask that you would ask the Lord Jesus to come and be your Lord and Savior, and that you would willingly submit to him and allow him not only to become your Lord and Savior, but that he would allow him to come and live in your heart, and that you would follow him and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you into the fullness of Christ, and that you would experience this life of Christ. And then to the rest of us, Lord, we ask that as we want to change our ways, that, Lord, that we'll not be the same old, but this will be a time to grow in deeper and further in you. And that, Lord, we will be cognitive of our future, that we will not just live for here on earth, but we would live to that day, and that we would want to reward in you. So, Lord, guide us and lead us into that fullness and everything that you purpose for us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just for me and my heart at the end of the day, God has given us goals and purposes and delights, and that's not just here on earth. There's in Luke chapter 19, it says those that were given minors, and when they were faithful in their stewardship, they received reward in heaven. And it tells that, or heaven and the new earth, that they would oversee many cities. But for those who didn't look after what God had given them, the Lord judged them and they received nothing. And I want to just say my desire for every one of us, that our reward would be great when we stand before the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a place of joy. It's not a place of condemnation. It's a place where we walk into our future. And how you sow and how you live on earth here now will determine eternity. I want you to hear that. Will determine eternity. So don't waste, judge, and he will reward you. And he is a just judge. So amen. Thank you, Quentin. God bless you all.